I've got nothing. So,
You got something? I don't bring much to the table these days, do
Well, on that note, welcome to Glenn's table for another episode of Glenn and Casey's Royal Ramble. Again, we are in your house.
That's not exciting enough. Let's try it again.
Oh my god! It's in your house! It's in your house 13, Case! Final four! Is it four? Yes, it is.
My god!
Or as I call it, Tennessee Turmoil.
Chattanooga Challenge.
Oh, nice! Well, it's better. Dude. Oh, I can stomach it.
Well, no, the reason it's called Final Four, Glenn.
Yes.
As we find ourselves in February 16th, 1997,
yes,
at the UTC Arena in Chattanooga, Tennessee,
uh-huh,
with 6,299 people watching us.
Yes.
The reason it's called Final Four is because you may recall a little event that happened a short while before this called the Royal Rumble.
Ah, all the way back in January, yes. 1997.
Yes. Now, you may remember that Stone Cold got thrown out by Bret Hart, but jumped back in the ring as if nothing had happened and proceeded to win the Rumble.
He did. And you know who he eliminated?
Yes.
After being eliminated.
I believe it would have been The Undertaker, Vader, and Bret Hart.
I think that's right, Case.
Wow.
Ding, ding, ding.
So, what better way to settle this controversy
than
have replay the Final Four face-off? You know, when every Rumble gets down, well, not every, but most Rumbles end up at a point where there's the Final Four left in the ring, and they all eye each other off.
All the well-written ones.
Yeah, all the well-written ones. And so this is basically taking that concept, taking that Final Four moment, and having that as the main event of this In Your House.
Did you notice with this main event that's coming up very shortly, folks, is that they also implemented that you could pin an opponent or make them submit.
Yeah, or make them submit.
Why did they bother implementing those rules with the match that's coming up?
Yeah. That's a good point.
Another thing why they bothered with is the promotional cover of this. Back in the old DVD days, we had Austin, Hart, Psycho Sid and Shawn Michaels.
Right.
When Psycho Sid and Shawn Michaels are in the bloody pay-per-view.
Yeah, well, I'm pretty sure they would have had to make some quick changes because Shawn Michaels had just decided to give up the title.
Yeah, he lost his smile.
Yeah, he lost his smile.
Yeah, so did we during quarantine.
Yeah. But so that's, obviously threw a wrench in the plans, and they then had to go on.
Yeah, continue. No, I'm just making sure it's recording.
Yeah.
I'm just yep.
not going to continue making my point if it, no one's listening.
No one's listening, Case.
That's a pivot. Pivot is the word I'm looking for.
Okay, pivot.
But obviously it's too late to change all the promotional material.
Right.
But Psycho Sid is in the background of this event.
He is. He's looking at the telly going, oh.
Because whoever wins tonight's match wins the title and Sid gets a title shot against them the next night on Raw.
Yes. I think, would it be fair to argue, this isn't how I foresaw this conversation in my head right at the beginning of this podcast, but I think it would be fair to argue that this four-way was going to go down regardless.
Yeah.
I think so, but for the number one contendership.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. But look, it was great, but should we first discuss all of the matches prior to this great main event? And this is your pick.
To be fair, most of them we can skip over.
Well, we're going to definitely skip over the first one because we didn't watch it. It was the Godwin.
Yep.
And they're up against the Headbangers.
Ah, the Headbangers are here. Yeah. It is 97. So, we're at that era where it's not quite the Attitude Era yet.
No.
Not quite, but
we're getting there.
We're getting there. We're very close. Mark Merrow is here.
Aha!
With a sunglass wearing sable.
What's with the sunnies?
I assume she got biffed one.
You reckon? I don't know. It was a very odd appearance. I don't know. She never wore sunnies, did she?
And did you hear, speaking of domestic violence, King quipped that never hit a woman with glasses.
Oh,
he has a fist.
Oh,
like,
right.
Jesus Christ, King.
That's that wasn't even funny when the Stooges said that. You wouldn't hit a woman with this. Here, use this. It's bigger.
Yeah, when the King says that, because he flubs it as well.
Mm.
He's like, you wouldn't hit a woman with glasses on. I mean, you wouldn't hit a woman with glasses. I'd use a fist. And I'm like, yeah, just shut up.
I didn't even hear that.
Yeah, it was quite loud. It resonated for me.
It spoke volumes.
Anyway, Mark Merrow and Sable, yes, is up against Leif Cassidy. Now I was like, this Leif Cassidy looks familiar.
He does.
Yeah.
It's El Snow.
It's El Snow. Yeah. It's like normal wrestler El Snow. Like if El Snow wasn't El Snow, he was just a legit normal wrestler.
Yeah.
But he was pretty good. Like, boring on the charisma front, but like his in-ring work, he's like, actually, he is a good wrestler.
Well, he's an in-ring, he's a trainer.
Right.
He has been for years now.
Yeah.
But Leif Cassidy was a really rubbish fill-in for Shawn Michaels in the New Rockers with Marty Jannetty. Hence why he's wearing that same getup.
Right. No tassels, though. I can see by 1997, the costume designer has gotten rid of all the tassels.
Yeah, right. Well, look, all I've written down, maybe they all fell out, but all I've written down is the crowd cared as much about this match as I did. Because they were just sitting there watching it. Yeah, I felt like I was watching WCW here for a second.
Yeah. Well, except Mark Merrow would have been more interesting as a WCW man.
Well, I think, and everyone that I've ever heard speak of the Miro era is that he could only play Johnny B. Bad.
Yeah.
So when he come over as just this other character, he's like, well, I don't know, what do you want me to do? They're kind of healing it up a bit here, Miro and Sable. Like,
yeah.
I'm getting a...
Yeah.
And please, there's no comparison, but I'm getting a slight Randy Savage... like sensational Sherry feel from, like, is that where they're trying to potentially possibly human? I don't know. Look,
all Sable's pretty intimidating. That's what they're in.
You're
maybe,
right.
Maybe it's the
class. Maybe good poker face.
Yeah.
But look, like, here's my first note, and this isn't complimentary.
Yeah.
Miro attempts a spinning heel kick. You know when they're holding your foot and you're like, and you go, I know, oh, Owen Hart here, and get the back of his head. He hits his shoulder. And they even say, oh, he hit his shoulder. Thank God he didn't hit him in the head. And like, so he stuffed it then. He didn't mean to hit him in the shoulder. El Snow slaps on a figure four.
Yeah.
Didn't see that coming.
Yeah.
There's another move coming up in this main event that we're going to continuously keep talking about. Vader puts on the sharpshooter.
I got a bit to say about that.
Got to put that in there. I just want to put it in right now before I forget.
Yeah.
There's more whiner coming. But Miro, look, I'm going right to the NK, so I'll do you a favour.
Yeah.
Miro ends it with the wow thing. Yeah. And to see him, he, like, references it with his eyes, like, whoa, what that means.
Well, he is the wild man,
though. Yeah. Oh, and the crowd goes mild. And he does, but I tell you what, it is a pretty cool flippy finisher.
Yeah.
Like, considering, where are we? We're at 97. No one did shit like that back then. So, off you go, Mark. You're the winner. What have we got next?
We got the Notion. A Domination.
Actually, no, before that honky comes out.
Oh, that's
right. And says nothing, does nothing. They cut to Shawn Michaels.
Yes.
Shawn Michaels says, well, I'm giving up the title. I'm broken down, I'm a bit injured, and I mean, I think the overall thought is, over the years, is everyone's gone, he just didn't want to give the title to Bret Hart, and he got beaten up by some blokes, didn't he, like outside a pub, and that was the end of that. He just, took his smile and went home.
Mm.
See you, Sean, what a champion. But, so back to
the Nation.
Domination.
So we're talking, of course, Farouk, the leader, along with Crush. I've got Crush as in the Nation.
Mm.
He's not a black revolutionary type at all.
No, he doesn't look like one either. No. And Savio.
And Savio Vega. This is the only period Savio that I could stomach because he was a member of the Nation of Domination. and also, they've got JC, Ice, Wolfie.
Yeah, D'Lo Brown.
D'Lo Brown and Clarence Mason are all there as well.
Clarence
Mason, what a great name that is.
Well, Clarence, why?
Clarence Mason. Makes me think of Clarence Carter. Oh, shit, Clarence Carter.
Yeah, right. Well, wasn't he supposed to be like a really low rent, like Johnny Carson? No, not Johnny Carson. Johnny Cochran.
Johnny Cochran.
Johnny Carson. That's like the furthest thing. But I believe he was pretty much Cornette's replacement.
Right.
So anyone that ever... got managed by Cornette, by this time, is now a Mason man.
Right.
And because Cornette had enough. He's like, can you please get me off the camera and out of this company? And
so all these people were like, we are the Nation of Clarence Mason.
That would have been good. You know, those little guys are just in to get bumps, aren't they?
Yeah.
They're not bad either.
They're just filling out the ranks to make the nation seem more imposing than
Yeah. Well, do you have anything to say? Because I have notes.
Well, we're going to say who they're up against.
Yep.
Bart Gunn, Flash Funk, and Goldust. Now, Bart Gunn...
that's a random trio.
It is. And Flash Funk comes out first, and I'm like, oh my god, is it the Luchasaurus... Not Luchasaurus, the Funkasaurus?
I know.
No.
That's so
And then
weird.
I'm like, hang on, is it the Godfather? And I'm like, no, it's Flash Funk.
It's the Funkadactyl version
one.
Yeah, isn't it? Because he was first. He was too cold Scorpio originally.
Yes.
In the indies, in ECW from memory.
Yeah.
But I like his Funkadactyl.
Yeah, they were cool Funkadactyls. But yeah, it was also very reminiscent of the Godfather and the Ho Train type situation.
Oh my god, it's just a complete replica again. I mean, this is the first. But like, so he was the grand. He's the blueprint.
Yeah, exactly. Because when he came out, I actually thought it was the Godfather at first, and then I realized no, he was still Karma at this point.
Yeah.
Or was he? I don't even know.
Should have been.
Yeah.
Could have been. Yeah. I think he might have been off, and then he come back as Karma.
Right.
Or someone like that. I don't know.
Anyway, it's all irrelevant. And Goldust, of course, is here with Marlena.
Why? Oh, they all had issues with the nation. Of domination.
Yeah.
So Farouk goes to say something on the mic, but he's interrupted by Goldust. Goldust, like, Pearl Harbors him. Yeah. And just starts beating him up. And I thought that was weird. Okay, Flash Funk. Big splash off the top onto everybody.
Yeah.
Okay, now... 2020, we've seen it 15,000 times. Back then, not so much. It was actually quite good.
Yeah.
We see a sloppy spine buster by Farouk to Flash.
I like Farouk's move where he's got, I can't remember who it is, it might be Bart Gunn, where he's like got them sort of on the ground between his legs and he's jumping up in the air and squishing them with his
thighs. It's the old Repo Man, I'm jumping on you.
Yeah.
I'm Mario. Take that, Fireman.
Yeah. Yeah. And then on the third one, does he cop a punch in the nuts?
Of course, you spin around, and I think it was the knee. But Boss Man's done that before, and Spider-Man just held his fist up, going, there you go, comedy spot. And that was what it was, wasn't it? What is Crush wearing?
Yeah, I don't know. He's sort of part biker, part...
Dude Lebowski.
Yeah, basically.
Seriously, I was sitting there on the couch in my quarantine outfit going, we're wearing the same thing. I don't know. He doesn't come to wrestle. I don't know what he's doing. Farouk cops a knee to the nads. We've already covered that. Billy Gunn with a top row bulldog.
Do you mean Bart Gunn? It would have been interesting if Billy jumped in there.
Yes, I meant Bart Gunn. I did. The other gun. There's two.
Yeah, but one of them. There's the boring one that we were talking about.
Yeah. Yeah, right.
The successful one.
Yeah, that's right. Well, I didn't see Billy tonight. Yeah. Well, apparently on this paper I did, but he wasn't there. Crash sneaks in, and he does a leg drop.
Ah, yeah.
Hogan style.
Yeah, it's but misses, yeah.
It's kind of sloppy. No, that's the move, though. And then he swaps Farouk over, does the switcheroo for the pin.
Sorry, yeah, that's right.
And I'm supposed to be impressed by that.
It's a pretty big leg drop, though. Like, he jumps up pretty high for him.
Yes. And that's the end of the nation of domination. Alright, what's next?
Oh, hang on. We should mention what happened to Marlena. Remember that? This is what I was thinking happened in the previous...
Well, that happens later.
Does it?
Yeah, because Goldust wrestles later.
He was in that match.
Goldust comes out later.
No, it was Bart Gunn, Flash Funk, and Goldust.
I know. Hang on.
Oh, okay.
And Goldust is going to pop out for one more cameo. And then something's going to happen.
It's in the next match, isn't it? It's against Rocky Maivia versus...
It is in the very next match. Look at you. You just can't wait for it. That's why you picked this, isn't it?
No, I didn't. It was a surprise for me. When I was watching it, I was like, oh, that was interesting.
Yeah.
Of course, Rocky Maivia. The less cool version of The Rock, who was the Intercontinental Champion.
Yeah, it's The Rock without the charisma.
Yeah.
Isn't it?
Yeah.
It's the flop. Yeah. and he's up against Hunter Hearst Helmsley. Take a bow.
When I saw this was on the car, I was like, oh, cool, you know, Rock versus Triple H. It's a classic matchup.
The green ads, aren't they?
Yeah, it's a very different Rock versus Triple H. It's interesting to see from just a historical perspective.
What was really interesting is Triple H is sort of playing the veteran in this.
Mm.
And he's like 1 year older?
A couple of years, maybe. Yeah, but he's been wrestling for a couple of years.
Has he? All right.
Well, he was there in 95, getting covered in pig shit.
Yeah. I'm glad he got that off. But, yeah, it was, out comes The Rock, and I've written down, nice haircut! Oh, I'm glad he got rid of that.
Yeah.
It's sort of like, you know, when you... people are like, oh, I don't want to lose my hair. I'm like, it did you a favour, buddy. I mean, the rock with hair, yikes. Better than... Have you seen on our Royal Ramble PPV Twitter? I posted up Hogan coming out. He wore a helmet for a couple of times to, like, to hide the baldness. And it's got a fist on it, and it looks like a cock. Yes. So maybe just check that out. Everybody check it out.
On Twitter, you say?
On Twitter. Don't look at it now. Just
I don't want to see it.
Just wait. I don't know how many things... I don't know how deep you're going to have to go. Go on, this isn't the Joe Rogan experience. You can't just sit there going, oh, well, I'll have a look right now.
I'll just casually scroll.
All right. So what do you got, Coach? What do you got for me during
I haven't got much else for this
extravaganza.
Match. I can't even remember. Like, I did watch it maybe, 2 days ago. And I don't remember it.
All right. Well, what I've got... is hang on. What I've got, damn it, this is where I'm gonna have to humor the idea of editing, but damn it, I'll try not to. I was thinking oh, I don't like these ones. I was thinking, when Triple H has Maivia in a chin lock, oh, and he keeps illegally putting his feet on the ropes, and the ref gets going, right.
Because he's doing the getting extra leverage.
Yeah, the old DiBiase spot.
Yeah.
But the ref runs over and smashes his legs off, and I'm like, wouldn't that hurt the Rock's neck? The first thing, the ref could accidentally assist Triple H in winning. I don't know, it just popped in my head. I never think that way. So he must have given him quite the foot whacker. The
Hulk's penis helmet is the greatest, actually.
It's fantastic.
He actually went out into the ring. It's like a Roman gladiator. Like a centurion helmet, but instead of the fluffy thing, it's a fist. It's ridiculous.
I know. Again, guys, being bald's not that bad. You don't have to come out with even the New Day wouldn't wear that.
Oh, did he wrestle it? No, his opponent's wearing it.
Like,
his
opponent wearing?
And then he put it back on his head. Now he's headbutting people with the fist part. Oh my God, this is genius. How have I never seen that before?
Hey, Case, can we talk about the match?
Sorry.
Okay.
Hogan's warp on it.
All right. But the one thing that I do want to just touch on is Triple H, during more the selling than anything, is channeling Arn Anderson, Ric Flair, and Mr. Perfect.
Yeah.
Like, he was really good back in these days when he was lighter.
Yeah.
And was more of a formidable, patsy for moves. It was when he got all jacked. It looked ridiculous when he was taking shots. Yeah. Like, and bumps. He had to sort of more wrestle like a power guy then, like more of a bulldog.
Yeah.
Bulldog's coming up later too, and he's great. All of these ones have good bulldog matches in them. You noticed that lately? But what have we got? Out comes Goldust at the end.
Yes, yes.
The bit you couldn't wait for.
To distract Triple H.
Yes.
Yeah.
And Triple H, what is it? He defeats them? Oh no, he doesn't. He gets defeated by The Rock. With one German suplex into a pin. That's it.
Yeah.
That's the end. I'm like, okay.
Well, he hadn't come up with the Rock Bottom yet, I guess.
If you had said, let's watch In Your House 13, it's got Triple H versus The Rock, I'd be like, okay.
Yeah.
What? 12 minutes? China pops in.
Yeah.
Take it away, Case.
Wow, she just, she's in the crowd there by the barricade and just sneaks up behind poor old Marlena, puts her in a chokehold and pretty much just takes her out. And, like, you see the crowd, like, there's a dude there.
Yeah, I know, the crowd.
He's, like, not sure if, it's legit or not.
He's,
just,
he's not doing much. Do you see all the people at the start when it's Jim Ross and the King and they're on the commentary and they go to Hugo and all that? And all the people are kind of just hopping, going, hey, I'm in the camera. And then, like, the last one, this woman stands up and she looks like Susan Boyle, like, hello. Like, can you move your face out of my camera? It was just strange. But and then we go to a stumbling Stone Cold.
Oh.
Backstage where he can't cut a promo. See, he keeps talking, he's talking to Doc out the back, right. Doc Hendrick.
Yeah.
And he just keeps stammering over his words, quite like what we do. But the Stone Cold Steve Austin not knowing what to say, it was just really weird. A very youthful looking Stone Cold Steve Austin. Couldn't get out, you'd think bald head, beard, not fat, would look the same in 20 years or no.
Ooh, you know what I watched on this new streaming service, Binge? No, I watched it on Amazon Prime.
What's that?
Stone Cold's got a reality show called the skull, what's his broken skull ranch
yeah,
or whatever,
yeah, yeah.
Where he gets like people on to like do these sort of challenges to prove who's like the toughest son of a bitch.
Oh, okay.
And if you lose a challenge, immediately you have to go, and like the whole time you've just got like Stone Cold shouting at you like a drill sergeant, and then you lose, he's like, oh, too bad, get out of my ranch.
Yeah, right.
It's terrible.
Oh, it's bad.
Oh, it's really bad.
Oh, okay. All right. Well,
I watched the first episode, but I was just like,
okay. Well, what do you do? Look, he lives on a ranch. Wouldn't you love to live on a ranch in these times?
Yeah, I'd love
brewing ranch. Your beer at the back.
Absolutely love
you got
ranch.
Your podcasting shed.
Mm-hmm.
He's set.
Yeah.
Good for you, Stone Cold.
Ride around on your four wheeler.
Down, 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 down. Do you reckon he has that music playing the whole time? Down, 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 down. The next match.
Oh, we've got Doug Furness and Phil LaFon.
Why didn't they have a name?
Like
that sounds like two people I went to school with. Philip LaFon. Yeah. I remember
they could have been called LaFonness.
Yep. And they're up against two other gents that don't have a name.
Owen Hart and the British Bulldog. Yeah, they could have had some kind of name, like the
Hot Dogs.
The Hot Dogs. The Hot Dogs.
The Hot...
Yeah, it would work with JR boys.
Yeah, anything does, I've noticed. Slammy award winning Owen Hart,
yes.
Casey.
Yes, lest we forget. And they're also here with the Nation of Clarence Mason.
Yes, I like that. That's going to stick around, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
So, one thing in this match straight away is, did you notice how slow Philip LaFon moves? Like when he's bouncing off the ropes? Like, it looked like me getting off the couch. I've seen paint dry faster than this guy. It's unreal. But I do like how Owen and Davey, the pros, they cut the ring in half.
Yep.
And they managed to entertain me easily enough. Yep. Owen's so good.
Yeah, he is, isn't he?
He's great.
Really.
Every time I watch him,
more and more,
damn shame. And the way he sells the bumps and, I don't know, executes his own moves.
Mm.
He's fast, man. And, you deserve those slammies, Owen.
Yeah.
I like the double spot. What do I like? I like the double spot. When Bulldog and Owen start having issues.
Mm.
And I like how Bulldog keeps trying to make them not lose. Like, he's not like, stuff you, it's over. But at the same time, he clotheslines Owen Hart at one point.
Right, yeah.
Because he accidentally does his awesome, is that a spinning heel kick too?
Yeah.
Maybe I just like saying it.
Yeah.
It is though, isn't it?
Yeah.
The big, he's Owen Whippy.
Yeah,
but like, I don't know, they entertained me thoroughly in this match. And it was great. What, did it go for 10 minutes?
Yeah.
Could have watched more of this.
Owen Hart ends up costing them the match by whacking
I believe it was Phil, because he's not a fast mover. He would have been standing there
with his slammy trophy. To the chagrin of the Bulldog, who wanted to win, fair and square, legit.
Are we trying to babyface Bulldog back?
I think so.
Sneak that in there? Because he seemed very upset about it. And I'm like, dude, you've still got your belt. Who cares?
Exactly. Like,
I had him. I caught him. And he was, because he was ready to power slam.
So, it's a little bit of a shame.
I don't think the Bulldog and Owen ever came to a feud, though, did they?
I don't think so.
Yeah.
Would it be a feud?
It would have been pretty good.
Yeah.
Especially with all that history back at SummerSlam 94 and the cage and the Whoopi Goldberg hair, and off we go. But yeah, very, very entertaining match.
Yeah.
And
now it's time for the main event of the evening.
Oh, already?
Yeah. Yeah, that's the great thing about these in your houses. Like, this was an hour and 40 minutes.
An hour 43.
Yeah.
When I turned that on, because it was about 10 at night, and I'm in this fucking bed, not go all night, I was feeling sleepy, and I went, oh my god, I'll be in bed by 12. I was very happy. So, what have we got here, Case? We know the contenders.
Yeah. Four Corners Elimination Match.
We've got Hart, we got Austin.
Vader, with Paul Bearer.
Woo!
And The Undertaker. Why is Paul Bearer with Vader?
Because Corner. Because Jim Cornette decided to go around the corner.
And Clarence Mason wasn't available?
Well, I like the Paul Bearer.
Yeah, but
Vader.
Why did he turn on Undertaker?
That was with Mankind.
Oh.
But then Paul Bearer went, well, I need other freaks in my cabinet.
Yeah, well, Vader makes sense for him.
Vader does make sense. And
except for when he does his, it's time!
Goodbye. Isn't that good though? I enjoy that. And I really,
so I was watching that and Anthony was asleep in bed, like trying to sleep, and she came out to go to the toilet and stuff. I'm like, sorry, is this keeping you up? She goes, oh no, there was just someone yelling in a really high pitched voice. I'm like, oh yeah.
But Paul Bearer as a heel is great for the commentators.
Yeah.
Because like then like Jim Ross can be like, oh, that disgusting, dastardly Paul Bearer. And you're like, yeah, because he is disgusting. Yeah. That's more what I like. But yeah, look, I thought Vader, all right, everyone's promos are pretty weak tonight. Even Undertaker didn't really sell the goods.
Yeah, yeah, he kind of stuffed up what he said too.
They were just sort of like,
it's like, it's not when... It's not hard. Oh, this one.
Is this
you? Now? I'm gonna do it right now. And I'm like, that is when. Like, what are you talking about?
Yeah, and he almost says, like, he goes, yes, I'm getting back. I'm becoming the man I was once again. Not quite.
Yeah.
But nearly.
That scares me.
Like, oh, dear.
As good as you were.
Obviously, they weren't paying well because no one gave a shit. But not on the mic.
Bret Hart was all right. It's just like.
Well, you have to worry when Bret Hart is doing the best promo work here. Between Austin, come on.
But he's like, I just said, like, yeah, he finishes it with, like, may the best man win, me. And then walks out, ready to kick some ass. I'm like, yeah, yeah, Bret Hart.
Yeah, I'm waiting for that.
But this is such a good match, like, four awesome dudes.
What is this? This should have been the end of the Rumble.
Yeah, totally.
I would have watched this for, like, what was it, 24? Imagine if this was the last 25 minutes of the Rumble. Royal Rumble. Yeah. You'd be like, that's the best Rumble ever.
Yeah, it would have made up for the entire 1996 Rumble. But yeah, it's really cool. Like, every combination of these four dudes, like, because it's really...
Oh, it works.
Well, yeah, and
they can all work with each other.
And they're really well at, like, keeping the focus of two guys in the ring and two guys outside the ring, but they keep changing which guys are in, which are out, and, like, who's fighting who, and it's constantly, like, it doesn't get boring, it doesn't get stale at any point. It's just like, holy shit, now this person's fighting this person. Vader gets shit busted out of his eye.
Well, because,
like,
he runs it... who's he run at?
Is it Taker?
Yeah. Runs at Taker with the chair, and,
That's a nasty cut.
Yeah, but he did it to himself.
Yeah.
But you can even see him afterwards sort of going, oh, God damn it, I'm bleeding already. Because no one else bleeds in the match. He's like, oh, busted myself open.
It starts like minutes into this 24-minute match. And it's like so bleeding so bad that he can hardly see out of his face.
Is that the eye he had, like, literally hanging out of his eye at one eye socket, I should say? Remember Stan Hansen knocked his eyeball out? And he literally put it back in and went bonk. Like a cartoon, and went, I'm fine. How come he doesn't have a gammy eye?
Vader.
Well, he's dead. I know he does. I know he's dead now, but, like, he didn't have a gammy eye, like, the last few years or that I saw him. Not personally, but, yeah.
I don't know, I never looked too closely.
Well, you don't want to, do you? But this is the Vader show tonight. Like, I sit there going, oh, man, they didn't utilize Vader in the WWE. And then you watch this, and you go, why didn't they put the freaking belt on this guy?
Yeah.
He's a high-flying 450-pound monster.
Yeah, because he goes up, you think he's setting up for a Vader bomb at one point, and he does a freaking moonsault and misses. Lands on his face.
Well, I'm glad he misses.
Yeah.
One thing, just to backtrack a tiny bit,
the
Fink's here at the start,
yes.
Just to make me happy. Gorilla's in the ring with the belt because, of course, the winner of this prestigious Four Corners match is going to be the new WWE.
Was this when Gorilla was the new Jack Tunney?
Yeah. I liked him in that role. Yeah. It was a nice honorary role, wasn't it?
There's a really funny bit where they get... I can't remember who it is. I think it might be Vader. Gets thrown into the timekeeper's area.
Oh, and that guy in the corner. Yeah, Karen going... He's hanging on like...
Oh, shit.
He smoked too much or something. He's like, oh, I'm just going to... And, like, even his hat falls off. And the guy's like, here's your hat.
Yeah,
he's like, oh.
But maybe that's just him selling, like, you know, that these are two legit scary dudes. And if it is, good on him. He did a really awesome job.
Well, I've never seen that before. And I do remember it. Like, I do remember going, that's weird.
Yeah.
Didn't write it down, but I do remember it. But it was a strange moment, actually.
Mm-hmm.
That's way better than what I was going to add after Fink's here, Gorilla's here. I've written down the Western Union air balloons here. As you were going to say, what do you got, Kate?
What an exciting match.
There's some Four Corners bonkers matches happening. Look at the balloons up there.
It's coming over. It's coming over here.
Yeah, what were you going to say?
Yeah, no, I don't have much to say other than that. Watch this match. It's freaking awesome. It's, yeah, because there's always something going on up the ramp or outside the ring, and there's something going on in the ring.
And the commentary can keep up.
Yeah.
So they did it well. They did it really well. Absolutely.
And as you alluded to earlier in the podcast, the Vader's got Bret Hart outside the ring and goes to do the sharpshooter. Yeah. He's got him set up for it, but he can't really figure out how to turn him around for it because he's standing too close to the ring and he's too big. And he's just like, ugh. It takes him like about four or five goes to figure out the way to be able to.
It's true, but he's still, I knew what he was trying to do. I'm like, is he going to do a sharpshooter? Yeah. And he gets it on him.
Yeah.
Oh, okay, that's weird. Kind of weird when there's saving spots in this match, when what does it matter if you get a guy out? That's good for you.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, The Undertaker, I'm sure at one point, stops a Bret Hart. I'm pretty sure it's Stone Cold and Sharpshooter.
Yeah.
And Undertaker comes in and goes, bonk. And I'm like, wouldn't you just stomp on his neck? Give up! Like, what's up?
Stone Cold does get eliminated first, doesn't he? He gets thrown over.
By Bret Hart.
Yep. But then, comes on, as Stone Cold is wont to do, comes back into the ring and continues to cause mayo.
Murder beer, Mac! Oh, well, that
looks... and it's up to, like, I think Vader is the next to go, and so it's Taker...
Yes.
And it's Taker and Bret Hart trying to finish things off, but Stone Cold keeps coming back in the ring, and Taker has to keep, like, punching him out of the ring.
Get the hell out of my ring!
Like, don't win this match, you idiot.
And both Hart, and he's got no fight in this game anymore. Yeah. He's up. Bret Hart's like, piss off. And then Undertaker goes, piss off, you little pest. But I don't know, I didn't mind it. And I guess
I liked
the fact Austin went out first because it's not really that.
I was expecting him to win it, to be honest.
It's not predictable, but secondly, here's the Jack that started this whole thing. So you get out, you bastard. You shouldn't have been in there in the first place. And I actually really like that moment. At the end, after Austin, Hart finally dispatches of the Undertaker with a big clothesline over the top rope. And then...
And wins the title.
Yeah.
And then Sid comes marching down.
Yeah, Sid, with his psycho music.
Yeah.
And he hops in and trash talks, but he's got no mic and doesn't do anything.
Yeah, and that's over.
That's it.
But you know what he did do the next night on Raw?
He won the belt.
Yeah, with Stone Cold interfering, I believe. Leading to that win, which of course set up. Because I'm like, hang on, so this leads to what? WrestleMania
13.
Yeah, 13, obviously. But at the time, I'm thinking it can't be 13 because that's when Bret Hart didn't have the belt. Because this is just before WrestleMania. This is in between Rumble and Mania.
Yeah.
But then I looked it up afterwards, and I'm like, so Bret lost the title the next night. And so when he goes on about being how many times did Bret win the belt?
It was four times that night. Yeah. But I don't know, it might be five or up.
I think five or up. But really, does a one-day reign really count?
Well, ask Yokozuna. He held it for 2 seconds at WrestleMania night.
Yeah, that counts, doesn't it?
Well, I count it. But actually, the interesting dichotomy of the whole situation was you actually had your nemesis hoping you'd win that match because the champion was... the matches were set for 13. So Taker was meeting Sid.
Right, that was
and Austin was meeting Hart.
Right.
And so Austin wanted Hart to win.
Yep.
And Taker wanted Sid to win.
Yep.
So it created this bizarre, complex world where... Oh no, here comes my enemy. That's going to help me, probably.
Yeah.
He wants me to win. They don't write like that anymore. Yeah. Now I've got Otis going, hey, what ladder? Do I go up or down? Like, Donkey Kong. So.
Yeah, no, true. Good point. And of course, it leads to that classic Stone Cold versus Bret Hart match at WrestleMania 13, which is one of the greatest matches.
Yeah, that's arguable.
Yeah.
Arguable, yep. So, I have our next selection, Case.
Ooh,
you ready?
I am ready.
All right.
Hit me with it.
It's a little different. Mm. It's Backlash 2002.
Ooh, I like it. I like 2002.
All right. And do you know what the main event is at this prestigious occasion?
Well, it's going to be coming off the back of WrestleMania from 2002.
Yeah, but it's not going to be quite what you think. It's Triple H, who is the Undisputed Champion, against Hollywood Hulk Hogan.
Ooh.
Hello, the icon plays the game.
Right, so let's see if it lives up to the Rock versus Hulk match.
Did you know there's a Rock versus Hulk 2?
Is there?
There is. No Way Out that exists somewhere in the near future after that.
I may have to pick that one.
Well, maybe next time. But until then, guys, we've got to wrap up. I'll see you on Skype, Case.
Yeah.
All right, cheers, guys.
All right.